Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. I have the distinct honor today of having someone in studio who I have known for a very long time, lived a lot of life with, and she has a new book coming out that I don't even know what number of book this is. We're going to have to find that out because I think it's probably a very high number, but I am so excited about this book. It's very different than a lot of books that I talk about here on the podcast. It's very different than a lot of authors that I have on the podcast, but there's so much meat in this book. See what I did there? Because it is called Sabbath Soup, Weekly Menus and Rhythms to Make Space for a Day of Rest. Kathy Lipp, thanks so much for coming all the way from California to be here in studio.
I love that God knitted together me being here because there were a crazy set of circumstances because I don't just drop into Nashville. Like that's not like on the route that I normally take, but a crazy set of circumstances and I get to be here and it makes me so happy because I miss you. Mm-hmm. You know, our lives have gone in completely different yes. directions, but oh my goodness, I love you so much and I'm so excited to be here and I am so honored to be here too. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What number of book is this?
Okay. It's a weird question. I know because some of my books have
like, you know, it's a high number when they're having to give this big of an explanation.
But let me say, I think the most accurate number is 21.
Wow. Okay. I just had Karen Eamon on and hers was 21 too.
You're kidding.
So you guys are like on the same
goodness,
book
that's
path.
So wild.
I can't even imagine.
She and I have both been the Proverbs 31 Bible study. I mean, she has several times. Let's be absolutely clear. But, oh my goodness, Karen, somebody, you know, it's just so different. When we first started this out, we were all at conferences together. We were all doing that. And now we are all on Zoom in different directions. And I don't know about you. I've kind of slowed down the pace of my life. I don't know it, you know, you've added people to your life. I've subtracted them. I still love them. They just live in different places. And so I get to live at a different pace. And so but it does mean I don't get to see the people I love as often it face to face. So this is very special right now.
And, you know, I've added people, but I've also slowed down because those people have slowed me down.
Right.
You know? And I feel like it's been a really good thing. I think probably when we first met, we were kind of both at that place in our writing journey of, you know, there were so many opportunities.
Yes.
And so many conferences.
Right.
And so many meetings and so many just, you know, will you do this? Will you do that? Mm-hmm. And I think that probably both of us have been on a journey in a sense together where it's like, you know, separately, but also together of recognizing like, what are the things that really matter?
It's so true. And what can I carve out that really works for my life? Mm-hmm. You know, you and I are both podcasters. That works for our life. But I used to be very proud of my Southwest A status. it was no problem to get that A status every single year. And now I'm just in a different space where mm-hmm. I love to be home. Mm-hmm. We moved to the we used to live in Silicon Valley, which is a very different lifestyle. Now we live in the mountains where we're surrounded, you know, we're on 33 acres that we have to take care of. So there are very different hobbies in my life than when we first met. And I love the pace of my life. I love that it's more that I get to bring people in than go out. Mm-hmm. And at this stage of my life, I'm kind of loving it. Doesn't mean that someday I might not flip the script, you know, because I feel like every decade I change something up and there's a new emphasis. And I love that, you know, God puts new things in front of us and changes direction. It's never boring. Let's put it that way. Mm.
Well, and I love how you talk about bringing people in versus going out to them. I think that that's what this book is really about.
It is for me, for sure. And it's about bringing people to the table.
And I loved how, you know, you think, oh, it's just weekly menus and rhythms, but it was so much more than that. Tell us your heart behind this book.
You know, as you know, I have been about decluttering for a very long time. My dad was a hoarder, and I never really felt like I could have people to the house. If you wanted to come to my house, I needed at least 14 business days before that was even a possibility. And that part of my life is now under control, which feels very, very good. But the next step was that longing for people around the table. And so I did some of that while I was living in Silicon Valley. But when we made this move, I just felt like this is such a special place, but it only grows when I'm able to share it. So we live in the mountains near Lake Tahoe. And, you know, there's lots of places to hike and lots of places to, we grow our own food. We had chickens for a while until we had 14 feet of snow. And we're like, yeah, the chickens are not loving this. And so we decided that we just needed to create some rhythms in our lives, because I will tell you, at some point after cooking so many dinners for so many people for so long, I was kind of resenting all of that. And I wanted to get back to that longing. And I don't know if you remember this. I don't know. We were talking, you and I, maybe, I don't know, it was probably 3 or 4 years ago. And I'm like, what's on the hustle now for you, Crystal? And you're like, there is no hustle. And I'm like, what? Crystal, come on. Like you were everywhere doing everything for such a long time. And you're like, yeah, I don't have hustle in my life anymore. And I just remember thinking, she seems so at ease with herself. And I loved that for you. And I think that that's what I was kind of circling around again, was trying to find that place where it's not about the hustle. And one of those things was really rediscovering Sabbath. Mm-hmm. Because Sabbath became, I don't know, if when I was growing up, it felt legalistic. Mm-hmm. And so I always kind of resented and rejected it. And this, I don't know, God just wooed me back to Sabbath. And so it wasn't just smart for my soul. It was smart for my business. It was smart for everything I do. I remember reading Dan Cathy talking about Mondays at Chick-fil-A. And how their drive-throughs run better, their customers are happier, and their employees are happier because they had that time of rest. And that's what I was longing for. So I was trying to figure out a meal plan so that I could really have that rest. Because you know, you can cancel everything else out for Sabbath, but the people still want to eat.
And then there's still dishes too.
And there's still dishes. You know what? I will say one of the best things in my life, my husband does the dishes. He says, if you'll cook the food, I'll do the dishes. And it makes me so much more excited to cook because I know he's taking care of all the things I hate. So that's really what started out to be, was how do I get to Sunday and not have to hustle?
Mm. And so in this book, you really present this plan that feels so doable. Mm. And I would love for you to just unpack that, because I think for so many moms and so many women who are feeling like, I want a day of rest, but that's right. Not possible.
Yeah.
This is going to give them some freedom.
I sure hope so. You know, I started this when I did have teenagers at home and then kind of pulled back from it because I'm like, oh, I don't need to really do this anymore because, you know, it's just me and Roger. But turns out we still want to eat too. Go figure. So this is just doing a little bit each day to really plan for that day of rest. So Mondays is meal planning. And so one of the things I like to do is kind of see, what do I have on hand? Is there something I need to use up? We happen to have a garden. So is the garden doing something that we should be taking advantage of right now? Or, you know, also, it could be looking at the sales flyers and saying, what's on sale right now that we could really work something around. So it's putting that meal plan together. Tuesdays is making that shopping list. Wednesdays is shopping. Thursdays is prepping. So that's chopping up the vegetables, maybe cooking some meat. Maybe it could even be cooking some pasta or rice ahead of time. And then either Friday or Saturday, depending on your schedule, it's cooking. And so you're cooking really about 3 or 4 big, you know, menu items. And so Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday after church, Sunday evening, I'm not cooking anything. And then Monday, I'm repurposing some of that food. Tuesday, I'm also having some leftovers. Wednesday could be something like Trader Joe's or Aldi's, depending on where you live in the country. And then Thursday is our eating out. You got to have one night of eating out, or at least the option of it. And then Friday, we do some kind of pizza. We have a pizza oven. It's so much fun. We love it. But sometimes it's also just a frozen pizza thrown in so we can watch a movie. And so there's this rhythm and routine to it. So no day is a huge lift, but all day Sunday is just off. And really, the crux of this was when I started to make soup for after church. Because soup is one of those things, if you make it on Friday and you put it in the fridge and you pull it out on Sunday and just heat it up, it tastes better than when you put it in the fridge. And it's one of the most economical things you can make. We always make enough. So when we had kids at home, we'd make two giant pots of soup. You know, we'd double it up so we could have leftovers. But now that it's just me and Roger, well, I say it's me and Roger. We also feed a neighbor and we feed my mom, who's in her 80s. And just, you know, every once in a while, it's nice to have a little something that we can bring to her. But it's plenty. And we can also take stuff to other neighbors. We can take soup to a friend who's sick. So there's a lot based around this soup on Sunday. Mm.
And so when did you come up with this idea of Sabbath soup, like always having soup on Sunday?
It was probably about 4 years ago. I just realized that I got into a routine of, I love soup, first of all. And also, I've been on a health journey. And, you know, when we think about foods that are good for us, foods that are healthy, our minds immediately go to salad. I would just say that soup is the winter salad. You're just adding some broth or adding some water or something like that. But so much of our soup culture is based around vegetables. And I wanted a good way of having one really vegetable-based meal a day. So in the summer, I do tend to lean more towards salads because I love a good salad. But for 9 months out of the year, it's really soup. And so I just started to make it for after Sunday because that just felt easy, where I could either put the soup back in the slow cooker before we left for church. I just needed something that was going to be good after church, or I could heat it up real quick on the stove when we got back from church. And it's so easy to just pair some bread or do a sandwich with. And I love that it can be either a bowl or a cup, depending on what you're doing that day. And in the summer, we will have a big salad and a cup of soup. But I love that I don't have to decide what we're having after church, because I don't know, it's a hard question for me, you know, to be busy all that morning, because we were so involved in our church in San Jose. You know, Roger would be there at 5:30 in the morning getting the lights done and all that kind of stuff. And I was serving on some committees and things like that. And so to have food ready and waiting, and soup is the most versatile one you could absolutely do for that. Mm.
So people who are listening, who are thinking, okay, this plan, I like this idea, but it feels a little bit more work. I'm going to tell y'all, no, because Kathy has it all outlined in this book. Okay, how many weekly menus do you have in this book?
There are 28 weekly menus. And then there's also, I've got a free one that you can just go on Amazon. It's just called Soups On. Mm-hmm. And so you can just try that. That has 4 weekly menus. So it's about 32 altogether. So if you just go and download Soups On, it's a Kindle book. It's absolutely free. But there are 28 in here. And we do repeat some of the recipes, but I wanted to have the whole week laid out for you. So, because have you ever done that with you've had a weekly meal plan and then you have to flip back and forth between, okay, the oatmeal recipes over here and the casserole recipe. Like I wanted it to all be laid out. So you will find some repeats, but it's all laid out so that it's very easy for you to follow. Mm.
And you have it based upon the seasons of the year.
I do.
Which I love.
Yes. Cause you know, you don't want a cream of mushroom soup. And by the way, if the only cream of mushroom soup you've ever had is something you put in a casserole, let me just tell you, you have not lived. Like a good homemade cream of mushroom soup in the winter is about the most comforting food you could ever have in your entire life. But I would, because there are some, I love chili in the summer, because you can put that on a baked potato. You can have that with some fixins on top of it. But there are some soups that just feel like, oh, that's a good winter soup. Mm-hmm. And so I want you to be, and the meals around that as well.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I love is that you lay it out so that you're planning for leftovers, which I think is so smart. You're planning ahead. I'm making this so that I am going to be able to remake it into something else.
Right. Because the Saturday night recipe is something, it's like our main meal of the week for us. And you can, of course, adjust this to your own family and lifestyle. But if you're going to have roast chicken on Saturday night, I'm going to have a chicken quesadilla on Monday. So there's going to be a little time in between all those chickens, but I'm going to use that leftover chicken. And when I had kids at home, because we had four teenagers at the same time, we're a blended family. We had 13, 14, 15, and 17 all at the same time. So we were cooking two chickens, and one of them was getting put away because especially our boys would have eaten down two.
Yes, they would if they have been, see it, they eat it.
Right. They would have been putting that pan up and drinking the drippings. I mean, like, you know, they loved a good roasted chicken. And a lot of the, also, I'm a big believer in figuring out your resources. Like, you, if you don't have a lot of time, Costco will do the chicken for you. Let's just be okay with that. If you don't have a lot of money, then spend more time shopping the sales, figuring out what you can do. But, you know, figure, I like to think about your four resources. It's time, energy, space, and money. Mm-hmm. And right now, I have a little bit more time than the person who has, you know, six kids at home standing, across from me. Not all your kids are home, but you know what I mean. But I have more time. But I may have a little less energy sometimes. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I'm in this phase of my life where money is not my biggest constraint. So if I want to do something, if I want to buy the chicken instead of making the chicken, that's great. But everybody has to approach it from where do you have your abundance? Where do you have your scarcity? And you can plan for that. Mm.
And I think also different weeks are different. You know, there are some weeks where I look at the calendar, I'm like, there's a lot going on this week. So we're going to need very quick and easy meals. And then there are other weeks where I'm like, oh, we've got some free days so I can spend more time in the kitchen.
Yeah. And if you enjoy experimenting, get in there and do something that's fun or maybe that you haven't done before. Because there's always a learning curve, right? But like I have one menu plan in there that's pretty much just, you know, buy the rotisserie chicken. Okay, buy this. And you're just putting it, you're more of a gatherer than you are a cooker.
One of my real life friends was raving about this specific supplement on social media. And she talked about it so much and how it made her feel so much better. It really helped her pregnancy be so much smoother. And she's had a lot of kids. So I was like, paying attention to that. And she talked about it so highly that I was like, I need to check this out. Well, it is called DS01. It's a clinically validated 2-in-1 probiotic and prebiotic. And because of her high recommendation, I started taking it myself. It's formulated with 24 strains that support your whole body, including reducing bloating, supporting radiant skin, supporting immune health, and strengthening the gut barrier. I have noticed that since I started taking it, I feel so much more energetic. And I love that. And I also love that it's super easy to take, two little capsules right before I go to bed. And it's like something that I'm doing for my health, a gift that I'm giving to myself without much effort at all. Maybe one of your goals for 2025 is to prioritize your health or to work on some areas where you feel like your health is not doing so well. This would be a great thing to check out. Ready to experience a probiotic that actually works? Go to seed.com/crystal and use code 25crystal to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/crystal, code 25crystal. If you want to set your child up for success, but maybe your child is struggling in a specific subject in school, or they're needing help with their homework and you just feel like, I don't know where to turn. I don't know how to help them. Well, IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids that covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. It's designed to help kids really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. And I can tell you, Silas used IXL for his math class. He loved the real-time data that you would get. He's such a person who loves all the graphs and charts and that sort of thing, very different than me. And it really motivated him to see exactly where he was doing and how he was doing. And he actually wanted to work ahead because of the motivation that he got from IXL. This program has been proven to improve kids' grades. Backed by research, kids using IXL are scoring higher on tests. It's going to work for any of your kids. This is the cool thing. You know, every child learns differently, but IXL has used advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter their age or personality. And I love this part. One subscription gets you everything. There's one site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. And if your child is struggling, this is such a smart investment. It'll also save you money because a single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. And I love that IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Crystal Payne Podcast Show listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. I never knew that I could love a pair of jeans so much, especially a pair of jeans that was outside of the type of jeans I would usually pick for myself. Let me tell you about this. So Amoire is a site that is dedicated to helping women get dressed easily. It's a clothing rental membership, and it helps you to build a perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet, and then the styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, you just swap them out for more new to you styles. Well, I did this. I took the style quiz and they picked out this pair of jeans that was very different than a pair of jeans I would pick out for myself. But I was like, you know what? I love that this is going to challenge me to step outside my comfort zone. So I'm going to try this. And I ordered them and I fell in love. So much so that I wore these jeans multiple times every single week, did not want to send them back. And I ended up buying them because I loved them so much. And that's one of the things that I love about Amoire. It helps you to define your personal style, to try things that are different than you usually would, because you don't have to feel like, well, if I don't like this, then I spent the money on it and it's going to sit in my closet and that's going to be wasteful. You can just send it back if you decide you don't like it and swap it out for something else. Another great thing is that if you are pregnant or you're on a fitness journey, Amoire can help you be able to not have to go out and keep getting a lot of new clothes. It can save you money because you can just order clothes at whatever size you are at. And then if that size changes, you can just send them in and swap them out for a different size. Right now, my listeners can give Amoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's $125 off. Just visit amoire.style/crystal. That's amoire.style, amoire.style/crystal to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Amoire today.
One of the things that I love in here is you talk about how by being prepared, we can be more able to help and bless others.
Yeah.
And I think that that's one thing that, you know, I talk a lot about finances and talk about, you know, one of my passions is helping people to be intentional with their finances so that yes, they can give more generously. And this is you being intentional with your time mm-hmm. and with preparing ahead so that you can bless other people. And you give very practical ideas in here. And I love how you talk about how soup is the thing that like it brings people together. And also it's one of those things where you can easily add more. You know, it's like right. you can stretch it a little bit, add some more broth, add some more vegetables. If all of a sudden you're going to have more people, or you're like, okay, we're going to do baked potatoes and we're going to put chili over the baked potatoes. Or yes. you're like, we're going to have a lot of extra toppings because we have more people. Talk to us about that and how we can easily open up our homes by preparing ourselves ahead of time like this.
You know, I think about when I was a single mom and had two kids. And for that time, there was one family that invited us over. We were new people in the new community. And I just remember it wasn't a big, lavish invitation. It was, hey, I bought too much food. Would you and your kids like to come over for lunch after church today? And I just remember feeling like I was included. Mm-hmm. And it was such a ministry to me. But I also think about the times where, you know, one of my neighbors is going through a rough time. There aren't stores around us. Now, I know that's not the circumstances for most people, but I like to keep a lot of things on hand so that I can be the first person to show up if I need to in an emergency. So thinking ahead on things like that, the hot and cold bags that you see at the grocery store. By the way, those are not cheap. They're $7. I had no idea because I hadn't bought one in a while. But I like to keep a couple of those on hand. And then if you go to the dollar store, you can get blue ice for $1.25. You can get disposable containers. And when you're taking food to somebody, my biggest tip is make sure that there's nothing they have to return. Yeah. No glass casserole dishes. Or if you're going to do a glass casserole dish, put in there, you know what? I picked this up at the Goodwill. No need to return it. Feel free to keep it or donate it. That there's no obligation. Because I remember when I was younger, one of my friends lost their dad. And I remember her mom having to keep track of all the dishes. We don't want to do any of that. But if you have on hand some ingredients, some frozen chicken, some vegetables that, you know, even frozen vegetables can be thrown into that. When I have celery, I'm always buying celery and I'm always using half of it. You know, chopping that up and freezing it along with some carrots and onions. You've got a mirepoix that you can throw into almost any soup. And then Costco has these great loaves of garlic bread that are shelf stable. And so they'll keep up to, I think it's like 4 months. And so you have that. If you stop by the store and get a bag salad with dressing included, and then my favorite trick to pull out is the Ghirardelli brownies. Mm. Those things are incredible. You only have to add a couple of eggs and a little bit of oil. That can be baking while you put together a soup. And you can show up at somebody's house in less than 2 hours with a full meal. So if you find out that a tragedy has happened, I mean, but my brain goes to worst case scenario. You can show up. And maybe even if the people who are going through that tragedy don't feel like eating, there are going to be people there supporting them that will need to be fed. Mm. And so how can we be the hands and feet in that circumstance until we can get the meal train going, until we can get, you know, the committee organized to care for these people? Can we show up? And I love to just put things on a doorstep and text somebody and say, hey, there's food out on your doorstep. Later on, I'll come visit. But right now, I just wanted to make sure that you had some food. And if you can drop that off with maybe a package of toilet paper, some paper plates and bowls, some plastic utensils, and, you know, just some paper towels, what a blessing you could be in a really hard time. Mm.
And, you know, for people listening who are like, that feels like a lot of steps, I'm like, keep it simple. Yes. I remember whenever David, we had got the call in the middle of the night and my husband's out of town and my mom's staying with me. And I was actually supposed to be going and doing the Dave Ramsey. it was an interview there that morning because my book was launching that week. And so I have this, you know, brand new little tiny baby that I'm trying to figure out how to do the feeding tube. And he's really sick. And one of my friends, she texted me, she said, I'm bringing over banana bread.
Yeah.
And it was the simplest gesture. Right. You know, it's like most of us probably have on hand to be able to make some banana bread or make some muffins. It was her showing up.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It was just, she was like, I'm just going to drop it off at your door. I'm just bringing over banana bread. it meant the world to me.
Yes.
And like the ministry of banana bread, you know, yeah. that she was just like, I care about you. I see you. I'm with you. And here's some banana bread that was actually really amazing too. Oh. And, you know, in the busyness of all of that, right. like to be able to grab some banana bread. But I just encourage people. I love how in this book, you make it so simple
yeah.
to be able to bless other people.
I used a lot of words to describe what I do there. But if you can drop off soup, whether it is homemade or it's a couple of containers from your grocery store, some bread, some salad, a dessert. And if they have kids, keep something in mind, maybe a package of, you know, chicken nuggets. Yes, keep it simple. But I think we get to, sometimes we overthink it. And then we feel like, oh, I should have done something sooner. And then we talk ourselves out of doing it. And you don't even have to ring the doorbell. You can just leave it on the front step, walk away, and come back at a time where it's going to be easier for, not for you, but for them. But to just say, you are being thought of, and I am one of the many hands and feet that are going to show up for you.
Yes. For people to just know that they're not alone. And so I love that in this book, you also talk about how soup is a great way to be able to invite people in. And yeah. you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast how you used to be like 14 business days before I can have you over. And right. now it seems like you're much more like, just come on in. Yep. I'll add an extra bowl.
Right.
How have you bridged that gap? Like, how have you gotten yeah. from, because I hear from so many women who they're like, I want to open up my door. I mm-hmm. want to exercise hospitality, but it scares me. And I feel like I'm not good at it.
Okay. So here's the secret. Just ask people to bring something.
Mm.
If you ask somebody to bring something, you are not performing. You are not putting on a show. When you say, hey, you know, even I had somebody ask me, I thought this was brilliant. Hey, I know you make soup. Why don't you just bring it over to my house? I baked a cake. And why don't we just all hang out together as family? And I was like, the kids ran, and it didn't matter whether there was enough food or not. She goes, if we run out of food, I'll just order more. But it was such a low-key, excellent way of being hospitable. And if you're, you know, for years, I was panicked about my house. Invite people into your backyard. Just say, you know what? I'm throwing a picnic blanket over the back table. We're just going to sit out there and eat. And I've got iced tea. I've got, you know, I've got everything that we're going to need. And I think when we make it a community event, we're not cleaning for people. We're not fussing for people. My two hints are, make sure your kitchen feels clean and your bathroom feels clean. We can all forgive everything else, but just make sure that everything feels like, oh, I'd eat something coming out of that kitchen. But otherwise, if you can, it doesn't matter if you show up with a bucket of KFC or you show up with a homemade soup. All of those things are going to be welcome and invited in. And just saying, come on over. Ask people to bring something, because then it feels like a community event. There is nothing that you're not trying to impress anybody. You're saying, what I really want to do is connect.
Mm. We have a community group that we meet every Sunday night, and it's very different than a lot of church community groups where it's like, I don't know, you're kind of put together in this group and you do a Bible study. We all voluntarily chose to be a community group. We don't do a Bible study. Uh-huh. We just get together. But whoever's hosting, they literally just make the main dish. And it might be sometimes they'll get pizzas. Yeah. A lot of times it'll be a pot of soup. And then they'll just be like, we're making such and such. Could people bring sides, drinks? Like, they'll list off what would be great options. And then everybody just comments. We just have a little app that we do it in. Everybody just comments what they're bringing. And some people pick up something from the store. Some yes. people, you know, just bring, sometimes it'll be like, bring in the leftovers of whatever you have on hand. And every week, it's kind of a conglomeration of food. Yes. You know, it's never this beautiful spread, but I love it because it feels so safe. Like, yes. I can show up as I am with, maybe it's a bag of carrots. Yes. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I have showed up with clementines, like a bag of cuties. That's what that's, and they love it. Like, yes. I just peel them and it's like, I just look in my fridge. What do I have to bring this week? And it's just so low key. And I think so creating those spaces where we're just inviting people in as we are, it's such a gift.
It means so much to meet people exactly where they are. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was growing up, my dad was unemployed and for a big stretch of my life. And I'll never forget, there was a meal train at our church and people would drop off meals. And it was very, very helpful. But one woman, she was single. She traveled all the time for work. And once a month, there would be a round table pizza that showed up at our house. And, you know, as a 14-year-old, that felt magical. Mm. And she did what she could do. She couldn't make a meal. She was probably in Baltimore at that point. But she always made sure on her day that a pizza showed up at our house. And she asked me and my brother what our favorite toppings were. Mm. And it just meant the world. Meeting people where they are and the needs that they have. And who has ever refused a clementine? Those are the best things in the entire world. I could eat 100 of those. And yes, you know, and there may be a time where you show up and you're like, I wanted to try this cake recipe.
And I made homemade bread last week. And like, what? Literally everybody was like, oh my goodness. And I was like, it was the easiest recipe ever. But I'm like, I realized, oh, they're so used to me bringing a bag of clementines that they didn't know I could actually bake. You know?
But here's the thing. I would be brokenhearted if you felt like, you have little kids, if you felt like you had to bring the homemade thing. And mm-hmm. I'm so glad you brought the bread, because how fun is that? But I'm in a different season of life. You know, when people talk about, we have a friend who takes advantage of a food bank. And I think that is great. And somebody asked her, well, do you give back to the community? And I just, it's the worst question. And I said, you know what? I give to the community right now so she can take advantage mm-hmm. of that. And you know what? At some point, she's going to be in a different position. But we all have, like I said, different resources. I have more time than you do right now. Let me make the cake. You bring the clementines. And at some point, you're going to be there for that young mom who just needs a hand up. Mm-hmm.
And I also think it's a gift that we give to other people when we allow them to, you know, be able to give.
Yes.
You know, so I think of like the people who are stocking that food bank, who that's something that brings them so much joy. And yes, they're so grateful to be able to do that, to be able to serve other people. And sometimes I think when we don't allow ourselves to, you know, like we pretend that we don't have needs,
right,
then we're actually keeping people from being able to use their gifts.
One of the greatest joys in my life right now is, you know, a few years ago, the Caldor fire in California, it burned on all four sides of our house. Mm-hmm. Two acres of our property got burnt up. And I didn't really know our neighbor at that point. His name is Paul. And during that time, we were staying about an hour away with my mom. And we got connected on Facebook and he started messaging me. And at one point he let me know my house is still standing. And I'm like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? This guy is in his 70s, a volunteer firefighter. Mm. And when we finally were able to get into our house, I said, can I bring you a meal? And because he also got COVID while fighting this fire. Mm. It was craziness. And he goes, oh, you know, I don't want you to feel like you have to. And I said, it would really mean the world to me to just be able to do that. And come to find out, if he didn't get that meal for me, he was going to have a Lunchable for dinner that night. And so now every single week, when I'm not traveling, I bring him a cooler of food with, you know, all sorts of things. Cause I'm used to cooking for six people. That's a muscle memory that doesn't go away. And it means the world to me that I'm able to serve him in that way. He is out training to be a volunteer firefighter. Almost every Saturday he goes to calls. If something were to happen to me or Roger, he would probably be the first one at our house. And so to be able to say, thank you, I love you, I'm grateful for you, thank you for serving our community, I would have all this energy that didn't have any place to go if I couldn't do that for him. I'm so grateful that I get to serve him in that way.
So it's a gift we give others when we say
yes
to their asking if they can do something to serve us. Well, I just love that this book is about so much more than soup. Mm. It's about so much more than meal plans. It's about making space for rhythms of rest in our heart, in our home, in our life, in our relationships, and about inviting people in, building community. And it's all based around soup. You know, it's the power of soup. And so I just encourage everyone listening. I love this book. Also, there are pictures, which for me, that's a big deal in a recipe book. And throughout, there are so many different tips. And one of the things that I love is there are also these winter Sabbath experiences or different seasonal Sabbath experiences. And they tell you, and you just give some great ideas of just ways to slow down and savor whatever that season is. And also, I love that you have these prayers throughout. It's like a prayer for the people I love, and just these beautiful prayers to just remind us, you know, what really matters, and to focus our eyes on Jesus in the midst of so much that is going on in our lives. So everyone listening, this book, highly recommend, especially if you need some encouragement to find a way to have some space for rest in your life. If you'd love to have better systems and rhythms for food, and if you'd love to be able to bring that soup to someone when just kind of at the drop of the hat, or to be able to invite someone in and it not be super stressful. So thank you so much, Kathy. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for your encouragement in this 21st book. I can't wait to see what the next 21 books are going to be. It's amazing.
There's no better way I could spend a day than with my friend Crystal talking about food. I mean, it's everything I love wrapped into one.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.